from USA Today, baseball writer Gabe Locke joins us. Gabe, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Gabe. Any idea on, have you ever looked that up? Does leading on June 1st give a team a much higher chance of leading there at the end of the season, or is it kind of all over the map in baseball?
We can say with great certainty that it's better than being in fifth place. So it helps. It's certainly a long way to go at this point. I mean, it's the thing is that the vital signs for the Jays are so good, and things are starting to line up for them just from the standpoint of the teams around them having their various issues. Right now, everything's kind of firing on all cylinders, and thing with the Jays is that their bullpen and their rotation could stand to even improve some. So, they're definitely in first place with a bullet, you might say. It's not like it's by accident, and it certainly the things that have pushed them there could certainly stand to hold up and keep them there.
The Jays, you know, Edwin Encarnacion, of course, in the month of May was outstanding. Their whole team collectively is hitting home runs. And you talked about their pitching. We always hear about, defense and pitching wins championships. Mark Burley's been great, but, and Loop out of the bullpen's been outstanding. But there's a lot of other guys. Who do you feel has to improve the most? Who's struggling on a regular basis in your mind, either out of the bullpen or on the mound?
Yeah, it would be nice to see Hutchison really come into his own. That's a guy with a decent bit of upside, and he's getting to the point now where, he's getting a good ways away from recovering from Tommy John surgery to where, he's got a little more tread on the tire. Maybe his command may stand to improve some. So I think that's a guy you could really look to, and say he could provide you with some significant upside going forward. And I'm not quite sure what the status is of guys like Santos and the like in terms of health, but certainly you look at the injuries that have stricken the bullpen, and it kind of has to get better, you would think. I mean, sometimes it doesn't, but at the same time, you figure that it hasn't killed them yet. So that's and that's also a place where you can improve a good deal at the deadline as well. And the Jays should have some depth to deal from if you're just looking to find a spare part for your bullpen in the month of July. So if they can kind of tread water and maybe bottom feed a bit for a useful arm on the trade market, that's a much easier area to upgrade as opposed to starting pitching or an impact bat.
Gabe, looking at pitchers, I've heard the name Stroman. Maybe the Jays are dangling him potentially to get a pitcher. But, man, I don't know if you saw his last start. He's filthy as a starter. Looks way more comfortable starting games than he did coming out of the bullpen in his previous five appearances with the Jays. You look at a young pitcher like that, if you're the Jays, do you think maybe you'd rather just hold on and let him be one of your guys of the future rather than trade him now for help right away?
Absolutely. I can't imagine any scenario where they would deal Stroman simply because you can't just keep dealing guys like him and Syndergaard away. Not to say that they were burned by that deal by any stretch. I mean, Dickey will has given them, some value and will continue to this year. I mean, I think he's a guy that could really, if he, finds the command on that knuckler, provide them with a lot of quality the second half of the season as well. You're already looking at a thinned out young core of pitchers. You can never have too many of them. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. He can provide them. He could be that boost if he indeed sticks in the rotation. He has that big arm that you like, and you definitely need him going forward, especially when you look at the fact you're going to lose a Dickey maybe after this year. You're going to lose a Burley, a year or two down the line. You can't just keep dealing pitching depth for potential rentals. And, that's a guy that you hope they handle him properly in terms of toggling him between the rotation, between the bullpen, possibly another trip to the minor leagues. If they handle him properly, he could certainly be a big asset for them this year. And, of course, a guy you definitely want to hang on to for the future.
Gabe Locke joins us. Gabe, of all the teams in the American League East, who should the Jays be most concerned about?
That's a really good question because it's such a diverse group. They're all, this year, looking a lot like last year. in that 1-5 is incredibly hard to peg. Last year, the Red Sox, many thought, might finish last. You also thought, they got a shot to put it together, and they did, and they won the World Series. This year, similar kind of thing. It's a bit of a crapshoot. I would kind of be most concerned, I think, about the Orioles, simply because they play defense so well, and they have a lot of upside in their offense that's yet to be realized. I don't know if Nelson Cruz will continue this pace and hit 40 home runs. That's maybe a bit of a stretch, but you look at Chris Davis, he hasn't really woken up yet. Manny Machado is just now rounding into shape, and they have good enough pitching, and their pitching is good enough to where they can put the ball in play, and they have the horses on defense to make plays. I really think the Red Sox are going to regress to some degree. That's not to say that I wouldn't worry about them, but I kind of see this ultimately being a bit of a three-team race. The Yankees, the Jays, and the Orioles. Again, I never count the Rays out either because they still have a lot of pitching that could really get them on a hot streak, but it's kind of looking like one of those years where they won't put it together. So I would say keep an eye on the Orioles, and of course, the Yankees have that firepower, and they have a great asset in Tanaka. So that's kind of my big three going forward.
Gabe Locke joins us. Gabe, overall in baseball right now, who's been the most disappointing team to you in the first 7 weeks of the season?
Yeah, you'd have to say the Rays to a large degree. A lot of it's been injuries. A lot of it's just been not playing very well. I mean, that's they and the A's look to me like the two most complete teams in the American League going into this season. And obviously the A's have lived up to that very, very nicely. But the Rays just... a lot of deficiencies with that team, and they may not be able to come back from it. On the other flip side of things, the Nationals have been pretty disappointing. They've been bugged by injuries, but also you're wondering if this is a pattern with this team. This would be 2 years in a row now of kind of underperforming or not living up to expectations when it really looks like they have a bunch of guys in their prime ready to peak and really go out and win 95, maybe even 100 games. But they're probably not going to get to that level this year, and it's going to be a struggle to get to the playoffs. So, you look at the Rays in the NL, and you look at the Nationals and the Rays in the AL, Nationals in the NL. As you just kind of scratch your head and go, they're kind of not what we thought they were going to be.
On the other end of it, the LA Dodgers. You know, a lot of people had high expectations, and it's not like they're playing bad, but they're already 7.5 games out behind San Francisco, and I know it's early and there's a lot of time left, but you'd think the Dodgers are now already having to focus more on a wild card than competing in the NL West. Like, I know San Francisco was supposed to be good, but did you expect them to be this good?
No, and especially if you were to say that that Brandon Belt was going to get off to this great start and then break his thumb. I mean, it's remarkable. They're pitching the ball so well. Can they keep it up? You would think, you know, just because it is a they are based largely on pitching and good defense that more likely to be prone to be in a slump. But, you know, the Dodgers are still so potent, and Hanley Ramirez hasn't done anything yet. This is, today or tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of Yasiel Puig reaching the major leagues. And, of course, it was around this time they went on that 42-8 run. So I would definitely not slot the Dodgers into a wild card just yet. The Giants will come back to the pack a little bit. And the Dodgers, with just that big three of pitching that they have, I mean, they can just get on another crazy run again. There's really, not to say that you expect it, but they're going to play a lot better than they have. And they've actually played pretty well, a lot of things considered. So don't count them out of that division race just yet. And keep in mind, they were pretty much in the same boat last year chasing the Diamondbacks at this point.
Gabe Locke joins. Gabe, going back to the Toronto Blue Jays, and, Mark Burley right now, you know, he is just rolling. Him and Tanaka, of course, have been great. Yu Darvish, when he's not hurt, is outstanding on the mound. When you look at Tanaka and you look at Burley, who do you think has been better?
Wow, that's a talk about contrast. That's two entirely different pitchers in a lot of ways. It's pretty remarkable what Tanaka has done. Just in terms of he's been dominant at times. He's been efficient. I think that's the tie that binds both those guys, is they've both been very efficient and just really effective in terms of kind of mowing through lineups and saving their bullets. And that's, I think, why they've been able to repeat what they have been start to start. I think I might give a slight edge to Burley just because he really, I mean, you know, he's just, his command is so phenomenal right now, and you combine that with the fact that he's so experienced and really knows what he's doing out there, that that he's just kind of at the top of his game. I think we may not have yet seen the best of Tanaka, and he's still learning an awful lot. Right now with Burley, we're seeing just a pretty phenomenal combination of just command and having a really locked in idea of what he's trying to do out there and executing it.
Gabe, quickly, who do you think are the big names available for trades coming up in the next month in baseball?
Yeah, you know, it's you'll see the names out there bandied about quite a bit, and usually it's not as sexy as it ends up being. People are talking that, you know, it's David Price season. Keep in mind, you know, the Rays still will have this nucleus next year, so I don't think they're necessarily cashed that guy in. On the other side of the coin, do the Phillies finally face some reality and deal Cliff Lee? I mean, that to me, that he could be, you know, the best asset out there if they finally decide to bite the bullet and quit the diminishing returns of this veteran approach and try to get a little younger. So I don't, you know, don't get too excited about Price just yet, and hopefully we'll see Lee on the market, because I think that's something the Phillies need to do as much as whether they want to or not.
Gabe, as always, I appreciate the rundown. Thanks for your time.
You got it. We'll be in touch soon, most definitely.